coming to you from an undisclosed location somewhere in the Northern Hemisphere, waiting out the alien apocalypse. He is armed with a machete and a microphone. Join Michael James as he seeks answers to the paranormal, conspiracies, ancient mysteries, and the occult. Are you ready to trip the fuck out? This is Beyond the Forbidden.
All right, welcome to Beyond the Forbidden. I'm your host, Michael James. Tonight on the show, I got my man, the myth, the legend. I interviewed him face-to-face in person at the Skydancer UFO conference in Houston a few years ago. A lot of you have seen that and had a lot of good comments about that in-person interview, but I got him here again after a couple years, and I've been wanting to have him back on for a while. But Daryl Sims, how you been, man?
I've been doing great. It's about time for this virus to be over so everybody can get back to business and get down to the UFO business we need to be in.
Exactly. And how did you get the name The Alien Hunter? Awesome name, by the way.
Well, that actually was not my idea. Some people think I made it up, but I didn't. I was being interviewed by a lady, a journalist in Atlanta, and she said, "Oh, wait, you hunt them. You hunt the alien. Why, you're the alien hunter." And I said, okay. And she was doing a program for the write-up for the Randazzo magazine at the time, UFO magazine. And the next issue came out, which I've got a cover of. It's pretty cool. Shows a big alien head with blood red letters. To the side of it, it said, "The Alien Hunter, Daryl Sims." So that's where it all came from. But the fact is, I do hunt them that hunted me and later hunted my son. And you mess with me, I can live with it. You come after my kids, you're in serious trouble.
Exactly. And we may get into some of that here in just a little bit. But whenever I hear the Alien Hunter, I had this theme. You know, Dog the Bounty Hunter? You know, the Bounty Hunter. I can hear just the Alien Hunter. They need to get a show just with you to where, because I know you told me there in Houston, I think off camera, and just some of the things that you've done. And you have a lot of stories, Daryl. I guess how, before we get into it, explain to the audience that have not seen that in-person interview that we did there in Houston, the Skydancer UFO conference. To the ones that didn't see that, maybe that don't know who Daryl Sims, the Alien Hunter, is, explain a little bit about yourself and what led you down this road of everything that you research.
Well, in a nutshell for your audience, I am I got into the UFO business literally as a captive audience at age four. An entity came into my room in Midland, Texas. And that began my first major abduction. And that went on for 13 years, about 10 events. For 13 years at age 17, my events ended violently in Bowles Acres, New Mexico, right outside Alamogordo, 90 miles north of El Paso. That ended my events. And I thought, yay, that's great. You know, it's maybe it'll all stop now. Then a few years later, my son, age six, got abducted, and that started it up for me. I went from a casual, normal person interested in the phenomena because it's weird and whatever, and I could never understood what happened to me, to whenever they came out to my son, I later went from a somebody interested in the phenomena to someone interested in hunting them.
So I guess we're going to talk a little bit about abductions, because your research in that is is one of the best, hands down, according to with all the researchers that have got into researching alien abductions. But I guess what is off the top of your head? I know you probably have many, Daryl. What is one of the wildest and most bizarre things that you have ever witnessed over the many years, according to your research? It could be with abductions, or it could be something off topic.
Well, there are many.
I know it's probably hard to
that really.
Okay. What about this, Daryl? If you were, I guess, on the alien abduction genre, if you were to go to in the court of law and plead your case, hand on the Bible and everything, and to prove that the alien abduction phenomena is real, what case, what scenario, what event would you give in front of Congress or whoever?
Well, the answer to that is, having been in the intelligence community for 2 years, the Central Intelligence Agency and covert operations during the Vietnam War, and being a senior military police officer and a private investigator for 40 years, I don't necessarily want to give the best case that's best for me. I want to give the best case that's good for the audience, because you have to deal with the ability of the audience to perceive or to buy into a particular phenomena. So you don't always present your best. You present something that's viable or believable to an audience. And if that were the case, I would say the first implant surgery we did in 1995, that would be the case, because the x-rays on the lady, the object she showed me in her foot, and she couldn't understand it, neither could her doctor. She asked me what I thought of it, and I said, that appears to be a surgical clip from an osteotomy, which is something you would get from a foot doctor. And she said, I've never had a surgery in my life. Long story short, we finally went, did the surgeries. I paid for everything, the flight for her and another individual to get these so-called implants removed. And then later, the National Institute for Discovery Science, under the auspices of Bob Bigelow, called me on the phone, and he made an interesting comment. He said, I have 5 PhDs and a doctor and others. One man's got 2 PhDs and an MD. And he said, they're all listening to me, and you seem to be able to find a lot of evidence that other people didn't even know existed, and you'd be able to seem to find a lot of it. What do you owe that, you know, that ability? And I, of course, I realized that's also a trap question. And I said, well, I said, it has nothing to do with high IQ or anything. I said, it just has to do with, if you want to find a donut, go find a cop. Mm-hmm. They didn't find that funny at all. And I said, if you, and I was telling them the truth. I could go on for that for a half hour about NIDS. And I said, if you want to find actual alien evidence, go find a Native American Indian tracker who's an abductee, and you'll find the evidence you need.
Did you come across any type of things that you can expose or disclose when you was working? It was the CIA, correct?
That is correct.
Is there any? Were there things that you came across, and you don't have to really to disclose them? But that helped you along your journey, your quest, your research, that helped give you an edge when it came to, and of course, the military, military police, that gave you an edge where you could read people better when it came to working alongside these abductees?
Most of my education is self done in that respect. But one thing I did learn from the company, the CIA, that I was astounded at. When I started learning the tradecraft of some of the spy techniques and so on, I was amazed at the similarities between the CIA's methods and the alien. And to clear that up for the audience, I'll sum it up this way. The alien is the master and the innovator of false memory syndrome, often referred to as screen memories. Well, the CIA functions very much like the alien, in as much as they lie and they lie consistently. They create stories, they create cover stories, as we call it. The alien, in their response, they would refer to it as screen memories, like a four-foot owl or Casper the Friendly Ghost came and got me and so on. Well, Casper the Friendly Ghost didn't come and get you. Someone else did with large black eyes. And but they lied. They had these remarkable cover stories. And we call them screen memories if it's alien abduction. With the military, or the military per se, the intelligence community, specifically, the term used is a cover story. And I'll give you one good example. When Roswell happened, the UFO crash there, the military immediately announced and made it newsworthy to papers all over the world. We found a flying disc. We found a UFO. We got it. And within a short period of time, some of the people who were forming the right then during that time, that the new intelligence agency, the Central Intelligence Agency, some of those people got on the horn and stopped that thing right off the bat and said, no, you didn't. You tell everybody, and here is the cover story. Ready for it?
Go ahead.
Find a weather balloon. That's a cover story. It's a lie. Cover stories are always lies. And they sound great. They work. If they float real well to the public, then it worked. It's that simple.
Swamp gas floats too.
Yeah. The people asked me, you know, said, you were in the CIA. What, you know, do you think we're going to have disclosure any day? And I laughed and I said, you got to be kidding. I said, you hired us to lie to you. Are we doing good? Have we done pretty good? I would say so. You're still buying into weather balloons and weird things like that. You still think there's going to be a disclosure any day now. You're crazy. You're still buying into the cover stories we told long ago.
I'm glad you brought that up, Daryl. I'm glad you brought up disclosure. I still want to kind of stay on the abduction a little bit more. But with disclosure, people are always looking towards some type of outside source, the government, a whistleblower, some outside savior to disclose everything. It could come from a whistleblower. It could come from outside the government. But Daryl, you was part of the government. I was part of the government. I do not trust. I'm sorry. I do not trust the government, just like with the Pentagon Tic Tac UFOs. And that hearing that they had, what, back in May, the congressional hearing, or I forgot the name of it. And people was all excited whenever that happened that this is it, you know. Why I do not trust the government, because I believe they've been infiltrated. When? We can only speculate. You know, the same people that killed Kennedy, that were behind 9/11. These same rogue factions that are in the government, so they are still within the government today. And so we should trust that, yeah, there are people in the government that are good. You was one of them. I was one of them. But the main ones that are in the dark shadow, that are in the shadows, that are calling the shots. And yeah, some of these people in the government, they mean well, and they're going to try really hard. But when it comes down to it, they're not going to relinquish their control and their power to disclose UFOs, the evidence of alien life, abductions, or anything else. These same people that have been over with all of the other conspiracies in the past, I don't feel like disclosure will happen by the government. I could be wrong, and I hope I'm wrong. What's your thoughts on that, Daryl?
Well, simply put, I think you're right on target with the idea that the government's not going to provide you with the disclosure. They're simply going to ask the intelligence community to give you another cover story. And like one, I was debating with a so-called intelligence operative from England. And he said, their disclosure is imminent. And I laughed and said, I said, you know, when I told you I would debate you in time's path, I told you not to do this stuff. I said, so I'm going to make it a little simpler for you. I said, you don't know much of anything, either what you read or somebody tells you. You don't know because you never were in the intelligence community from day one. I know that, and you know that. You're a clerk, is what you were. A clerk, not an intelligence operative. You never were. I said, but anyway, be that as it may, I said, we have been waiting for 20, 30, 40 years for you to come forward with a congressional hearing. Make us tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. We've had that whopper, that cover story, that screen memory, if you like, waiting for you guys for 40 years. And after that, another 10 years, that one's going to be so good, you're going to think you got disclosure. When you get ready for another congressional hearing, we've got another one ready for you. How many do you want? That's the disclosure you're going to get.
We're just another repeating cover story. Exactly, Daryl. And we're repeating everything that happened was in the 50s or whenever they were talking about UFOs and taking it serious. They were just giving us breadcrumbs all the way up to present day. Every few years, just like you said, you get breadcrumbs. And you have researchers out there and a lot of people in our community, Daryl, UFO researchers and just people that's interested in the topic. They look forward towards like people like John Podesta. And I don't want to say anything because I know that some of this video will go on YouTube. But if you follow what happened a few years ago with John Podesta and emails, you know, with, I guess I can say maybe not the full word, but trafficking, you know. So is there evidence? Is that proof? I don't know. But we're trusting these people within government that we should not trust. But that's a deeper and darker topic. You got to choose your words carefully. You know what I mean, Daryl?
Certainly do.
And I don't even know how to say it because I want to say something related to that with abductions. Maybe I'll do that whenever I get you on camera in person. And I can do what I want to with that. But so are these ETs and rogue factions with our government? I'm sure you hear this a lot, Daryl. Are they working alongside each other, or do both entities have their own agendas when it comes to alien abductions of humans?
Well, of course, I hear these statements all the time. The bottom line for me is I tell people, there are things I think, there are things I believe, and there are things I know. Those are three different areas. And I don't answer questions based on what I necessarily think or what I believe, so to speak. I really like to give answers from a position of what I know or what is reasonable for me, anyone to know. And the idea that that the aliens are networking with humanity to do all kinds of things, that those are rumors that are not yet substantiated for me, but they're interesting. And is it possible? Could the United States government even caught some of these beings and even genetically engineered them? Yes, of course, everything's possible. But the thing I like to answer, and I like the way you set it up, is if you went to court, what could you prove? I wouldn't want to walk into court saying all these bizarre conspiracy stories because your boat just got sunk. So what I can stick with is what I have seen myself. What I've seen myself is there are at least seven different types of entities that present themselves as aliens from other worlds, Zeta Reticuli and other places, and they are the ones abducting us and so on and so on. Do I believe there is a space confederacy like on Star Trek? No, I do not. I think these entities are made, hatched, cloned, and manufactured for the purpose of convincing us that they're here from other worlds. The real question one should ask And we can go into that on why I think that to be true and why I think there's strong evidence to support the fact that the alien entities, the reptile, the gray, the bigger gray, the different entities and so on, mantis and so on, all the DNA of each one of those suggests they come from here, not outer space, but from here. But the real question beyond that, which is, it's a great thing to study and to look into, but the big question is, who made, hatched, cloned, or manufactured it?
And I'm looking around, and you're right. And I've always kind of thought the same thing, because I have a book by Mac Tonies, The Crypto Terrestrials. I'm not sure. And actually, Nick Redfern gave me the book. He actually I'm only supposed to borrow it, but I can't get a hold of Nick. I'm supposed to go meet him again. But what do you think about that? When it comes to the crypto terrestrials, whenever maybe they're not actually coming from out there, that they are, they're already here. They've been here for thousands or possibly millions of years. And possibly that's what some of these rumors with deep underground bases and maybe somewhere, I don't know, in Antarctica, Dulce, New Mexico. Elaborate a little bit more on that, Daryl.
Oh, it's interesting you should bring up Dulce, because the last Dulce conference held by the Hickory Apache Indian Reservation people, they told me this is the last one we're going to do. And I said, okay. And they said, would you and Norio Hayakawa be interested in coming back to do another conference?
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I just interviewed him last week. I haven't uploaded the interview yet, though.
Norio's a good friend of mine. He drove me back to after my conference was over. Anyway, the point is that while I was in the Dulce conference, I headed up the Native Americans and others to come forward to for open forum before the conference. And none of the Native people would come forward. And so finally, I told everybody, turn off your radios, your telephones, your cameras, turn them off. And I did, and then the Native people came forward and told stories to straighten your hair. The point is that after, during the conference, while it was going on, I did my presentation, others were doing theirs, and different Native traditional people would come up to my table privately, and one guy in particular was hilarious. He came over with his cane and sat down next to me and said, well, what do you think about this all these underground bases and stuff out here up on the Mesa? And I said, I'm not sure they're up there. He said, what? He said, all these people are telling you it's up there. And I said, there are underground facilities near here, I think, but I don't think it's there. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, in the Central Intelligence Agency, we put things exactly where you needed to see them. I said, that's really important, in plain sight. I said, the other ways of hiding things are in other ways. As my point is that I doubt that I don't think you're going to get much out of that. And he argued with me for about 30 minutes and finally looked at me and says, you really are a good investigator, aren't you? And I said, well, I'd like to think so. And he said, when you come back, I'll take you to where the underground base is at. He said, it's not up there. And I said, I'm sure it's not. Something's up there, but it's not what we need to be looking at. It's when you come back, he said, I'll take you to where it's actually at. He said, they don't know.
And this was a native of the region, a Native American?
Right there, an elder at the Hickory Apache Indian Reservation. So my point is that some of your best intel information will come from people who are involved and often will never come forward, unless they're 100% sure you are not part of the cabal. You're straight up. You're for the people. You're going to actually give information that needs to be given and so on and so on. So I had a number of people that came up, traditionals like that, individually. One of them was in the intelligence community. And the same thing. And I've got a top secret clearance. This guy put me under the table. I told him, I said, you were in the areas that I never was. And I said, I can clearly tell you that that my best advice to you, I said, I know you're not going to want to hear this. And I said, I love you like a brother, but you need to keep your mouth shut. I said, you're going to get yourself and your family into a lot of trouble that you don't need.
What was their response?
He said, I'm near suicidal. I said, I'm sure you are. I mean, there's no vent for people like us. I mean, what are you going to do? And I said, next time I come here, I said, I will come specifically and work with you personally and help you therapeutically in any way I can, counseling or anything. But I said, please don't throw everything away.
So he must have known a lot of things, huh, there.
Well, he did. He did. He put me to shame.
A lot of things when it came to Dulcie or other, I guess, UFO and alien related topics as well.
Everything, things that that the Chinese and Russians and others would really want to know, and things that could get him in a lot of trouble.
What year was this?
This was just about just before the pandemic. I spoke with Norio, I, and several other people. Bill Burns spoke at the last Sicaria Apache Indian Reservation conference at Dulcie. That was the last one they had. Last one they said they were going to have.
Now, since we're on the Dulcie topic, what do you think about, and I know you've gotten this question asked to you, I'm sure, many a time. So what do you think about Phil Schneider?
I think Phil Schneider, Phil Schneider is the whole subject is a firebomb. Anything you say, good or bad, for him or against the situation, is going to get you in a lot of trouble with either groups that are looking at it. I have some personal papers from a dear friend of mine who was sent by Phil Schneider to him, and we may publish these here in the near future. So I guess the real question is, do I buy into everything that Phil Schneider said? No, I don't. Do I think that Phil Schneider was a real guy and having a lot of difficulties? Absolutely, I do. Do I think that some of his stuff is correct? Of course it was. Underground bases exist. What he's telling you there is correct. Did he get in a firefight with a bunch of aliens and all that? I don't know that to be true. I wasn't there. But my answer is that Phil Schneider is a good example of this, like this intelligence operative, Native American, at Dulcie. When you go out there on the ragged edge and you decide to tell it all, so to speak, when they finish with you, and it won't necessarily be death, it'll be worse than that. You're going to look like a three-alarm idiot, a nut, and look at Bill Cooper is a good example. I mean, he shot it out with the intelligence folks when he showed up. That's exactly what they hoped he would do, because he drew down on them, and what's their only response? Well, of course, take you out. I mean, you played into the hand perfectly. So I think people who have been on the inside like that and come forward as a quote-unquote whistleblower, you have to look at them very carefully. And the problem is most people don't have the background in the intelligence area to say yay or nay or this or that about it. They don't really know. I'll give you one good example. There's a guy out there that there's several of them, actually. One of them died recently in the UFO community, who claims that I've been on hundreds of these UFO crashes, hundreds of them. Well, he's a bold-faced liar. I can tell you that right now. Because I know something about UFO crashes he doesn't know. And the things that I know about it, because we have one ourselves, we've never publicized it, never told anybody anything about it, and it's as real as anything in the world.
I don't mean to. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Daryl.
Well, bottom line is the things he's telling about it just ain't true. I mean, you can make up anything you want and tell everybody, I was there, I did this, and I did that. That doesn't mean anything. When you're talking to somebody like me who can look at you with different hats on, so to speak, you're not making any sense. Now, to the UFO community who wear these, what I call UFO hats, those hats have been fooled and often by people in the UFO community who simply lied to us and didn't tell us the truth. And there are people that, look, the FBI infiltrated MUFON back in the 60s. They said so. What makes you think they quit doing that? Good Lord. I mean, the entire database of MUFON was sold by MUFON to Bob Bigelow's organization. Where do you think that information went?
CIA. Or some other rogue element.
Anybody that wants it in the intelligence community, I'm sure has it. And I mean, you know, if you don't mind your information being out there belonging to all these folks, great. I just don't think that's appropriate in any way, shape, or form.
Now, when it comes to these whistleblowers, Daryl, and these people that come forward and just like what you said, you some guy that's been on a bunch of these UFOs, and then you have other whistleblowers that I'm not going to put any names out there. People know who we're probably talking about, you know, then a lot of them are in the New Age movement, you know.
That is correct.
Okay, Daryl. I'm not saying everything they're saying is wrong. I'm not saying that they're liars. I just have a gut feeling, Daryl, that if they were telling the truth, they'd be suicided. They would be Bill Cooper. They would be Phil Schneider.
Bill Cooper. That's a good, that's my point right there. They'd be Phil Schneider. When they finish with you mentally, you're going to be an absolute basket case. It doesn't matter how real and how true you're trying to help everybody. I get that.
They're going to get you.
But you're not going to be sane when it's over.
And they're going to get you. I've met some of these people that I can't prove it. While I was in military, that they were special forces, and you knew just through word of mouth, there's no proof. I know that's no proof what I'm about to say, but you knew that they were in some deep, dark things. You know,
well,
you know,
case it. In point, I just had a guy contact me today. I've known him from before. They referred to him. In fact, there was a radio program called me and said, we want you to investigate this guy. This was back in the 90s. I want you to investigate him because he's a super soldier. I said, what does that mean? That means I'm Brand X and he's a lot better. What does that mean? I don't know what that means. And I said, I'm kidding, of course. I said, I just want to know what super means. Are we Brand X and he's like super because he's like 3 levels higher, 10 levels higher? Explain this to me. And finally I said, okay, I'm interested. What do you got? And they gave me his name. And I said, I've already read a good deal of information on him. I said, he read my abduction forms and mimicked a lot of the information on it. He said, I'm a Native American. I'm a Cherokee Irish. And I this. And he just listed all these different traits and everything, which he read right off my website information. And I said, he says he can run 60 miles an hour. He's a 6th or 7th degree black belt and all kinds of stuff. He's super soldier. He can do anything. I said, I will challenge him to, he can run beside my car. I'll bet you he can't. I'll bet he never gets anywhere near 20. And I said, and I'll spar with him. I said, I'm only a 4th then. But I said, you know, things are easy to prove one way or another. You can make all these claims on the internet and there are people, they don't care. Whatever you say, that's the truth. I saw it on X-Files. There are real super soldiers out there. Okay, that sounds good. If you want to know who super soldiers are, you want a real good illustration of them, look at the Navy SEALs. That's a starter. And if you want to use that, that would be my high water mark for soldiers, generally speaking. But this stuff, it's just stupid. I said, he is not running 60 miles an hour. He's not doing all this stuff. And I said, he's older now. And I said, okay, he can only run 50. When is he going to show that? When am I going to see that? When am I going to see the lineage? And I just don't buy into it. I'm sorry.
I thought I was a super soldier too when I was 20 years old in the military. You know, my testosterone levels are high and everything like that.
Never made it to 60 miles an hour, but some people, I guess, better. They got capes and the red S on their chest or somewhere.
Now, I know what we're, it sounds like we're poking fun, but I'm open to everything. Even though it sounds like we're just kidding and joking around and stuff, I'm open to everything. Is there a program out there that is in the deep, dark world that we do not know about, that there is no 100% physical proof of super soldiers and these other programs out there? Yes, it's very possible. It's very possible.
Yeah, for sure. You know? Sure. That is possible. The probably the people more involved in it than anybody are the Chinese. And the fact is they're interested in doing all kinds. I have it on pretty good authority. They're doing experimentation with the possibility of genetic splicing and doing other kinds of things in transgenics and creating a super soldier, but not in the sense that you and I think. You know, I can do 5,000 push-ups and I can run 20 miles an hour down the road. I can outrun a tank or whatever. They're talking about doing things like giving human beings. You say, well, would people volunteer for that? Some would, but you don't have to. When you have a Uyghur population that's already under your thumb, you got all the volunteers you need, because they're already your prisoners. And you can sell them for spare body parts and everything else afterward. But you can do any kind of genetic engineering you want to do. And even in ancient times in the Bible, genetic engineering had been done. And there were bizarre things, from giantism to satyrs to other things that showed up in history and historical documents. And even Jesus said himself that in the last days, he said, as in the days of Noah, it's going to be the same thing that's going to be going on, the same type stuff. And I suspect that that's occurring. And the Chinese are right at the very, they don't have a medical group or anybody to tell them, you can't do that. They got all the slaves they need, and they just take them in there and do anything they want to them. They can take genetic splicing from one animal that sees real well in the dark and see if they can adapt that to a human being, no problem whatsoever. So does that program exist? I think it does. I just don't think there's any evidence for it that you're ever going to be able to prove in the court of law. The only time you're ever going to see it proven is in warfare. So that's coming to get you.
Do you, of course, I know a lot of things that we talk about, Daryl, of course, is a little bit speculation and more, a lot of speculation, because we don't have 100%. We don't have 100% proof out there. But do you think that that is the purpose for, and also it's okay to speculate. I feel like we won't advance when it comes to learning more about this phenomena if we don't open all doors. You know, yes, we need proof. We need 100, we need as much proof as possible, but we need to use critical thinking. We need to use just talking about it like we are now. It may help bring somebody forward, you know, or somebody else may get a puzzle piece and connect the dots better and get a better picture about something. But do you think that with these alien abductions over the years, is that one of the main things that they are, that the ETs, the Greys, are trying to do is learn more of our DNA, or maybe they are helping us advance our DNA, or I guess, what is it, Daryl? What is the agenda for these alien abductions?
The answer to that question is simply the alien will never tell you. They have lied consistently to mankind. They have lied. They will never tell us what their actual agenda is, because some of them don't even know. They're here to do what they're told to do. And to carry this into the next realm, which you beautifully opened up, the DNA aspect to it, let's look at the alien for just a moment. Who is he? What is he? Rather than looking at us and saying, oh my God, we're just pond scum. We're just bacteria. That's all we really are in the universe. They sent their best, the best of the best to come look at us. Really? The gray alien has an IQ of approximately 80. That's called a moron in human intelligence.
So he's a slave, now, just like us.
They make mistakes. They're made, hatched, cloned, and manufactured for the purpose of doing their job. Nothing more. Now, the different alien types have different levels of intelligence and different responsibilities. They can do a lot more than these guys. My point is, and I'll make this very plain for your audience. If we look at the praying mantis being, which got an IQ of probably around 170, 180, really sharp and very manipulative, let's look at his DNA. Forget ours for a moment. We'll get to ours in a moment, and I'll tell you what they may be looking for. Let's look at his. Let's get the microscope looking the other direction. When you look at the praying mantis DNA, I'm going to ask a real simple question to your audience. Where in the world would I find praying mantis DNA? Probably not on Zeta Reticuli. Probably not on the moon. Why? There are hundreds of species of praying mantises on planet Earth. I wonder if someone came here and got the DNA of a praying mantis and took it back out there and remodified it into a life form that looks like a praying mantis being. Well, it's a superior alien being. What if it was just a praying mantis that was manipulated? That's called transgenics. It's not a complicated subject. All you got to do is go to Google, type in the word transgenics, and one of the first photos that show up is a mouse with a human ear on the side of it. You say, that transgenic, you can't manipulate. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. It's already being done. That's the legal stuff. The illegal stuff they're never going to tell you about. So second level. So the reptile, I don't know. Again, I'm suspicious that the reptile, probably the DNA could be found on planet Earth. I'll bet you we've got hundreds of DNA samples you could choose from right here on Earth. You don't have to go anywhere to find reptile DNA. And it just goes right on down. Nordic DNA, the human being, the advanced aliens of the Nordic. Well, I'm going to take a wild guess here. Where would I get Nordic DNA? I'm going to take a wild guess. Blonde hair, blue eyes, probably from Norway. I don't know. But somehow this is just getting clearer and clearer whenever you take off your UFO hat and put on a medical hat or some other hat that works a little better. And to carry this even to the fun level, my friend who passed away recently, Cliff Mahudi, the Zuni medicine man. He and I were talking one day, and I said, tell me about the gray alien. Tell me about it. He said, well, they're the star people. I said, don't feed me that garbage. That's what you tell white people. You're talking to somebody that's got a native background, too. Who are they? He said, well, they're the ant people. And I said, where do ants live? He said, inside the earth. I said, thank you. So they didn't come from outer space, huh? My point is, each and every one of these beings, if you'll look at them carefully, turn the magnifying glass to them instead of you, you'll find that the so-called aliens are made, hatched, cloned, and manufactured for the purpose of which you don't know, other than they're here from another planet. The fact is, they're here from this planet, but manufactured out somewhere else, brought back here in a craft, which means they're superior aliens from another world. I told a lady, I said, listen to me carefully. I said, I'm not here to argue with you. I don't want to argue. I don't care. I don't care what you believe. I said, but if I grabbed a Cro-Magnon man, unfroze him, and the salt didn't crystallize in his blood, and we could thaw him out, and I brought him to my house, he'd be shocked and looked at the house. He'd say, oh, cave, man cave, it's interesting. I said, you have no idea what a man cave is, boy. Get in here. And as soon as I walked in, and it's at night, and I flipped the light switch, he said, oh, light, sun, moon, you know, this. Look, I got four of them up on my ceiling. I got four little moons up there. Isn't that amazing? I am magical. I am pure magic. And as soon as I walk in, I say, you want something to eat? Oh, yeah, I'm hungry. You know, I've been frozen for 5,000 years. I said, okay, what's this? I put a sandwich in the microwave and bring it out red hot. And he's like, oh, fire. But there's no fire. How did you do that? You're magical. You are a superior being to me. No question about it. No, You're just an idiot that knows how to flip a switch and plug something in. I didn't make electricity. Have no idea how it's made. I don't know. I didn't make a microwave. Don't know how, but I can plug it in. Now, want to really have some fun with this guy? Put in the movie 1 million BC, plug it in your old VCR, and then turn the TV on, and he starts watching dinosaurs eating cavemen like him. He said, oh, I used to hunt that thing. You know, yeah, I'm sure you did. But that's not the point. And he looks at me and says, how did you do this? And I said, well, it's a time machine. We're going back in time. We're watching time. I filmed you. That's you over there in the background, way back there. You can't tell who you are. He'd believe every word I told him. Every word, because every word of it's a lie. But it's tech. And people believe in tech. And if the alien tells you, oh, the spaceship is incredible. I can do anything. I move my hand this way and the door opens. And it does. But I can go down to the grocery store and get in a certain level, and I've done this just for the fun of it. When a lady walked out, she was trying to get out. I'd move my hand, move mechanically, just for the fun of it, just like this, and then move my hand, and the door would open automatically. And I said, close, and then the door shut back down. She didn't realize I'm in the tractor beam, the electronic tractor beam, and can do that. She thought I was magical. And I was moving mechanical, so she thought I was perhaps a robot. Oh, my God. I'm sure when she went home, she told her parents and her friends all kinds of weird things about the strange alien that she saw outside the grocery store. It's all how you frame it. And we've been framed some pretty interesting ways in the UFO world, in my opinion.
Well said, Daryl. And it's just so hard to discuss this. We can speculate and theorize all day long. So the best I can do is just give, with a little bit of speculation, maybe some possible truth can come out of it. But who are these? Just like you said, the aliens are cloned, hatched, and manufactured here, correct?
In my opinion, the DNA came from here and was taken out there, reassembled into a transgenic being, which means beings that, like in the grays, the small grays, there are at least three different kinds of them, ones that appear to be mechanical, some biomechanical, and some of them strictly biological. But the fact is, they're controlled and operated by others. They're avatars at best.
So, what do you think with this, with the alien abduction phenomena? And it's really not a phenomena. I believe it's real, but also I believe it's real with the military abductions, my labs. At least I don't have proof. But of course, all the things I've read, people I've talked to, other researchers, just my gut tells me that it's not just the aliens. Well, what's your thoughts with the MyLabs, military abductions?
MyLab cases, Dr. Carla Turner, the late Dr. Carla Turner, some of you know her, she was a friend of mine.
And she's brilliant. She was brilliant.
She came to me at a conference. We were sitting out talking privately, and she said, you did something unbelievable. I said, really? What did I do? She said, you showed a lady how to defend herself, and she tore the eye cover off an alien. I said, I did. That is correct. Oh, my gosh, she said, Daryl, you need to get involved with the MyLab cases because you can show our people how to defend themselves and this and that. And I said, Candy, and people that knew her, that was her personal name. Candy, I said, I don't want to show your people how to do stuff like that. Why not? Why not? Why do you not want to help us? And I said, Candy, you're putting a frame around me that doesn't belong. I said, let me carry this out to its logical conclusion for you. Let's take your best MyLab case. And we both knew the lady. And I said, that lady said that two military police guys came in with machine guns, M16s in the middle of the night, and carted her off out of her room and walked her down the street in her nightgown and to the local sewer, basically. And they went down like 180 stories under the earth. An incredible, great story. And the lady is as truthful as anybody you can imagine. I mean, she's not lying. She's telling you the truth as she knows it. I said, Candy, first of all, let's assume every word she said is true. Forget the fact that throw your critical thinking down the toilet. I mean, let's say every word is true. And she said, okay. I said, so I'm going to train her specially in how to do this and how to do that. She said, yeah. I said, so the next time these two guys with machines are going to show up, she's going to go with them. They're going to take her to local sewer, pop the lid off, drop down 180 stories beneath the earth to a secret super base underground. And it's there they are. They're over smoking a cigarette while they're waiting for whoever to come get her. And all of a sudden she pops out of her deep trance, grabs one of the M16s, locks and loads, points the M16s at them and says, all right, suckers, I got you. Do you think for a second she's going to come back alive? She won't.
No.
I said, now you got me killing your MyLab cases. And then I said, what you need to be thinking about.
And then you have to live with intel. That.
Yeah. I said, now we got her killed for no reason. I said, that's assuming the entire story is 100% true. I don't think that it is. I said, could I go down the street? And I'll bet you when I go down the street where they took her and pull the lid off that sewer, I'm probably going to find a sewer down there. Not an underground base, 100 stories deep, but a sewer. Why do I think her story's not true? Do I think that she got abducted by somebody? Yes, I do. I think she's telling the truth. Were they military guys? They may have been. I don't know. I wasn't there. But I have to assume that what she's telling me is true. But there are cases, we have cases on board right now, Candy, that literally the aliens mimicked their screen memory was military people. But does that mean that all cases are of military people are not, they're alien? No, they're not necessarily. I think that military people in the intelligence community, especially intelligence people dressing up like military people, that is a distinct possibility. I'm not saying it isn't. I'm just saying when you jump into conspiracies, buying into the whole thing, you're opening the doors to things that you don't really know anything about. Now you've got me killing your people simply because I gave them skills that got them ultimately. You're not, she's not a housewife in the middle of the night with an M16, knowing how to lock and load it, pointing it at military or intelligence guys is probably going to get her killed and probably them too. But ultimately, she's not coming back to her family. That's not a good scenario in my view.
Especially if these guys are super soldiers.
No. Would they be able to run over and take a machine gun away from them in no time? I mean, it just, you know, there are flaws in the story. Doesn't mean that my lab cases are not real. I said, I've taken three my lab cases that she indicated for me. And in every one of the cases, I found so many holes in the story, I couldn't deal with it. I quit doing my lab cases because of that. It doesn't mean that there aren't any my lab cases. It doesn't mean that at all. It means that when I tell you, tell me the truth, don't lie to me, I better never catch you lying to me. And in those cases, I caught people lying. One lady said, she told me her story. She said, it's absolutely true. I said, before we get into all that, I just want to ask you a few basic questions. And I said, you want to do this? Yes, I do. I said, okay. Now, if you lie to me, it's over. No problem. So I asked her a series of questions. And all her questions were yes, yes, yes. It was truthful right down until the last thing I asked her. I said, have you got any outstanding warrants? You've ever been arrested? No. Well, I ran her record. I guess she has. What does that mean?
She's lying.
Lied to me. Why are you lying to me? Well, that wasn't important. That was a long time ago. I said, you're not listening to me. When you start lying to me about something as unimportant as that, what are you going to do when we get to the important stuff like your abductions?
Lose all credibility.
I don't trust you. I don't trust you at all. I'm not going to put my reputation on your lying story. So end of, but I said, no, go find some other investigator that wants to do this with you. It ain't me. I said, I knew you were lying about some of it already. I knew that. Not because you were making it up, but because you didn't know what happened to you. You're telling the story as best you remember it. Someone, and in her particular case, had already placed a screen memory over her thinking.
So Daryl, I didn't mean to interrupt. So after all these years, it's really easy for you to tell and to see when somebody has been under maybe mind control or had these screen memories implanted in them.
Well, I'll give you a good example of someone that I found very, very credible and very honest. you'll love this story. And I'm going to tell the whole story. A MUFON sent me this guy out of L.A. The reason MUFON usually sends me a case is because it's somebody they can't deal with, or they're mentally ill, or they think they're mentally ill. And anyway, so I get this guy, and he calls. He says, you know, they sent me to you. And I said, why do you think that is? And he said, I think they think I'm nuts. And I said, I think you're probably right about that. Now, why do you think they think you're nuts? And he said, well, because I admitted myself to a psych hospital. I said, why did you do that? And he said, because I must be crazy. I said, what makes you think you must be crazy? He said, because I was taken up in a UFO, these gray aliens with these big bug eyes got me, and that's just nonsensical, and therefore it's insane, so I must be nuts. I said, so you had an event which you believed, you thought was real, but based on your logic, it couldn't be real, so you turned yourself into a psych hospital. He said, that is correct. I said, what was the response of the psychiatrist who worked with you? Said they said I was 100% sane. And I said, I actually think you are too. He said, but I said, listen to me carefully. Just because you got taken by something you didn't understand doesn't make you insane. Period. That's important to know. I said, so I worked with him. I said, I will help you with your condition, your difficulties, and so on, and give you a cushion to work with here so that your life will be better. He said, well, I've got these other issues. And I said, I'll help you with all of it. I don't care. I said, I'm all about helping abductees in whatever way I can. And I'm going to take special interest in helping you. He calls me back a couple of months later. Hand to God, you're going to love this. And he said, Mr. Sims, my friend who's, he took my car without my permission. I said, okay, what do you want me to do about that? He said, well, nothing. It's what happened in the car that you need to know. I said, well, tell me what happened in the car. He said, well, he ran a red light. And I said, okay. He said, in the red light, he said, now he's an abductee too. The only difference is he believes in the phenomena, but he doesn't tell anybody about it. And I said, most people don't. That's why they think we're not nuts, because we didn't tell them. Mm-hmm. I said, all right. He said, so what's the big deal? And he said, I just got the picture in, but, you know, he ran a red light. And shows my car, my license plate, and of course him with his sunglasses on, and there's an alien sitting in the back seat. I said, so you're telling me that the city of Los Angeles caught him running a red light, you got about a $350 fine, and there's an alien sitting in the back seat. He said, that's correct. I said, listen to me carefully. If you send me a copy of that, I'll never talk to you again. Send me the original that the city of Los Angeles took a picture of and never bothered to look in the back seat. He sent me the original, and I have it. It's on my video that I put out called Best Evidence. But anyway, absolutely fun. There's an alien in the back seat. Well, the question is, Daryl, have you ever seen aliens abduct people in their own car? Yes, we have several cases right here in Houston, but we have one in L.A. How do you know that's really true? Do we have any definitive evidence? Well, we have the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department photographing the alien in the backseat of the car. And they'll take it to court if you don't pay your $350 fine. What I would love to see the guy do is take it to court and show it to the judge and said, I'll pay the fine, Your Honor, but what's sitting in the back seat?
So, I've heard of things like that, Daryl, where people, they have friends and it's an ET walking around the house, or it's somebody that's riding in the passenger seat in their car. I've heard of things like that on and off, but to me, it's what if some of these friends, I know this speculation again, but what if some of these people that they call these ETs their friends, what if they're actually in the, what we're seeing or they are seeing is actually in the blood and flesh, human flesh, but maybe certain cameras, just like the one in LA that captured, what if certain frequencies or cameras that they capture certain frequencies, and maybe these entities are actually just shapeshifters or shapeshifting into different people, maybe people that their level, I don't know. Maybe some of these people have been taken over, kind of like the body snatchers. You know, what's your thoughts on that, Daryl?
Well, in a nutshell, I can answer it from childhood. In my first abduction at age 4, something remarkable happened. I woke up at the wrong time. He was walking away from me back toward a wall. And I thought to myself, who is that? What's he doing in my room? All thoughts running through my head. And I said to myself, who is that? And he turns around because he heard me thinking. I didn't know he could hear me thinking. But as he turned around, I heard him say something skull to skull. And this was amazing to me. That at 4 years old, I didn't know anything. And it, certainly not voice to head to head conversation. Telepathy or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And he made the statement, it's awake. And I realized there's only two people in that room and he's not talking about himself. I'm the it. So he turned around and he realized he's got to clean this mess up. In other words, make me not believe in aliens. And he's got to make himself appear to be something different. The first thing I noticed when he turned to me was his large black eyes that were perfectly round, about an inch and a half across, almost no noticeable nose, a little tiny slit for a mouth, and no ears. And I noticed he didn't have any mammary glands, he didn't have a belly button, and he didn't have a tee-tee. Little kids see things differently than adults do. I couldn't understand, where is his belly button and where is his tee-tee? Now, that's a kid's way of looking at things, but from a geneticist's point of view, that is a profound statement. He doesn't have a TT because he doesn't generate, he doesn't procreate. Number two, he doesn't have a belly button because he wasn't born. He was hatched, cloned, made, or manufactured for some specific purpose, of which we're not really totally clear on. So that was the first thing. But to answer your question, when he finally tried to get close to me, I wasn't paralyzed or scared or anything. But at some point, his eyes shifted in a small way, and the most unbelievable fear came over me and paralysis I had ever experienced. I had never known anything like that could exist as a 4-year-old kid. I mean, you don't know much of anything. And that fear was so profound, I realized later as an investigator, he transferred the fear that he lives in to me. That's where the fear came from. Now, I didn't have any fear of him. I was sitting there communicating with him, basically, skull to skull, and trying to figure out what's going on. And finally, I fell back on the bed. I got so scared, and I pushed my little bed apart from the wall, and I fell down between the bed, and my head, a little head bounced off the floor, and the kid's worst nightmare occurred. He lifted up the covers under my bed and got his head right next to my face with those large black eyes, and he changed his image. Listen carefully how I said it. He did not shapeshift. He changed my perception of his visual form into that of a clown. Many abductees have clown phobias and have no idea where they came from. I kept shaking my head back and forth. No, 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 no. because I wanted to remember this clown for what he was, not for what he wanted me to think he was. Next morning when I woke up, I was back in bed, the bed made up properly and everything. And I'm in it, my parents realize I'm visibly disturbed, and they thought I had a bad dream. Well, that's exactly what the screen memory is all about. Tell your parents you had a bad dream of a clown. I didn't have a bad dream of a clown. I had a bad dream of this clown, one alien, making himself to look like a clown. It would give me a phobia, so I would say that, and my parents' response would be, well, you had this terrible, terrible dream. Well, I didn't. No, I didn't. I remembered. And the remarkable thing about what happened to me at age four that was profound for me from then on, he would shut me off by the, any abductee knows what I'm talking about. They shut off your consciousness so they can program you, so they can do whatever they're going to do, whatever that is. And I, for some reason, I don't know how I did it. It was just amazing that I was able to do it. I was so traumatized, I flipped myself back on, and he didn't notice. Later, I learned how to do that automatically in an abduction. Why is that valuable? Because now you're a true spy. You're listening to their conversations. They do not want you to hear.
You're getting intel.
What they're doing and what's going on. Not the whopper that they were going to tell you. I'm from Zeta Reticuli. We're from a far-off distant planet. Our DNA is degraded, and we need your DNA to make our DNA better. Those are whoppers that you can listen to all day long. What's more fun is whenever you get to listen to them when they're not telling whoppers, when they're talking about things among themselves. And I did that for 13 years in my abductions. It's not that I'm a lot smarter than every other investigator. I simply listened.
I don't remember if I asked you this last time. And I've listened to a lot of your interviews. I don't remember of what your response was. Have you ever killed an ET? Or can you say? Or do you play the fifth?
Well, if I say I can't say, then obviously I did something. Have I shown anybody how to defend themselves?
You can either confirm or deny.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Okay.
The fact is, I'm not interested in trying to kill off aliens or whatever. I'm interested in finding out what they're really up to and what's really going on. That's the real point. There are people that I've met that would give anything in the world to take one of them out. They would. And some of our abductees belong to our support group claim they have. One of them is a woman who claims she worked him over with a baseball bat. I've got another abductee in Galveston that claimed he worked one of them over with a tube before. And they just cleaned up the mess in the morning. The aliens did. And you're back in bed or whatever. And all you have is a memory of, I think I did that.
But what was that guy, Daryl? I've actually posted on my, I believe, a clip of it on my Instagram feed. I think it was the late 80s or maybe, no, late 90s, I believe, or mid 90s. It was a doctor. I forgot where in the U.S. But he was out in the woods and an alien killed his dog. What's your thoughts on that? Is that a hoax or is that real?
I help investigate that case. The man is an absolute liar, 100%. He's not a doctor, number one. Number two, his whole story is bogus. We looked at his photographs and found all kinds of wires and weird things, you know, under the leaves. If you know what to look for, you can catch these people fairly easily. He's a bold-faced liar. He's made up this stuff. He comes out about every 5 or 6 years and tries his wares again because there's a whole new group of people out there who never heard his story. And it must be true. He's a doctor. Number one, he's not a doctor. And number two, he's a liar.
What
did need his dog?
What do people want? What do they want when they try to pull off some type of hoax like this? Because
there are a number of them in the UFO community right now doing it.
There's not a whole lot of
these conferences.
I know. And we kind of alluded to it a little bit earlier. And there's not a whole lot of money in this field. I guess fame and ego.
You hit on a really important thing. There's not a lot of money in this field. That's a fact. case in point, I was at a major conference with Richard Dolan, and we're sitting in the middle of the conference table, and there's all these speakers on both sides. And on my side, there are three speakers who claim to be time travelers and doing all kinds of interesting, weird, fun stuff. They were time traveling with Obama when he was 8 years old and all kinds of stuff. And Dolan kicked me under the table and says, "What do you think?" You know, I said, "Isn't it interesting that three scientists would come all the way to this meeting? Nobody really knows anything about two of them in particular, but three scientists who paid their salary to come here to tell a bunch of people like us, try to get us convinced that their narrative, their whoppers, are absolutely 100% true. This is the kind of stuff that destroys the UFO field, and they know it." And there was a young man, no more than 19, 20 years old, walked up there and asked questions. He said, "Mr. Dolan," he said, "Dr. Dolan, I'm very impressed with your work, blah, 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 blah." He's Mr. Sims. He said, "Outstanding, unbelievable work you've done with abductees, blah, blah, blah. Great stuff." He said, "You other three on the other side of it, you scientists, I want to ask you a very specific question. I went to all your conferences, to your workshops. I heard every word you said. This guy's brilliant." He says, "Is it possible that someone or something, alien or otherwise, could have given you a screen memory and you actually believe every word that you say, even though not a word of it is true?"
What they say?
Every one of them jaw dropped. What could you? Well, if you're a scientist, you have to declare that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
His question was rhetorical, and everybody that had a brain knew it. He's not asking you. He's telling you. He's telling the whole world, and you want you to belly up to the bar and admit it. But he's giving you the option of saying, "Yes, I probably am brainwashed, and somebody did that to me. But for the other two scientists, that's true of one of them. I would think that. But the other two were there on purpose, and they were there from the intelligence community, in my opinion."
And we're about to wind things down for this time, Daryl. But I interviewed somebody, and I don't like to name drop, you know, unless I get personally attacked, you know. Yeah, I'll throw somebody's name out there, but nobody's personally attacking me. But there, a lot of these people are doing bad things with the community. But anyways, interviewed someone a few weeks ago that stated that there have not been any abductions over the past 20 years. What's your thoughts on that?
The person obviously doesn't know what you're talking about. And if they did, they would, and they made that statement, they're a liar. If they knew what they were talking about, I don't think they know what they're talking about. And they just made up the story. The bottom line is, somebody told me the same thing at a conference. In fact, he was a PhD. And
there are saviors. Right. They're all here to comfort us. And they're all, they're all benevolent.
He had it all written out. And the, my lawyer, he's called a UFO lawyer. He's very popular and very famous out in Washington State and in the UFO community. He confronted the guy and he said, "That is simply not true." He said, "The work of Daryl Sims and others demonstrate that you don't know what you're talking about. Now, either you don't know and you're ignorant, or you're a liar and you do know. Which is it?" And I like lawyers. It's real cut and dry. So the guy was just horrified with all that. And he started asking questions. And I said, I patently tell you that you don't know what you're talking about. Your statement is untrue. If you want it to be true because you need it to be true for the narrative that you're telling contactees, that abductions are over and the star people are going to do better now and all kinds of stuff. I said, you're full of it. Either you don't know and you're ignorant, which I think is true, or you're a liar, which I don't think is true, and you just don't know any better than to lie. I said, which one is it? You know, it's what the lawyer said. It's So anyway, and they're out there in droves. And so I don't argue with them. I don't care. And I don't care what people think. It's whatever you want to buy into. There's an old saying, caveat emptor, let the buyer beware. It's your brain. Fill it with whatever you want.
Well, Daryl, I'm going to ask you one last question before we wrap it up. I actually wrote this one down. I believe this is a prison planet. Oh, I may be asking you to speculate some, you know, but just give me what your gut tells you. I believe this is a prison planet with its sole purpose is to keep the human race in a perpetual state of fear, keeping free energy from us and to keep us from evolving into a more awake and aware race, physically, spiritually, and consciously. The question is, Daryl, why is this a prison planet and who are the perpetrators behind our enslavement? Is it the 1% behind the scenes, extraterrestrials, or both, and why?
I can give you a short version of that. There are evil entities. There's no question about it. There's good and evil in the world. I believe God represents the good, and I believe that His Son, Jesus Christ, represents Him in person, what it looks like if He came here in person. The evil in the it is crystal clear. They say, well, the multinational organizations, that's only the financial part of it. That's not the big stuff. That's the obvious stuff. Well, the intelligence communities, that's part of it, but that's not all of it. The question, think of a marionette, something with little hands with little strings on it, manipulating the multinational corporations and the intelligence communities and all that. Okay? Each one of these fingers represents the alien entities and other evil powers that are involved in this terrible stuff you're talking about. Now, above that, there are strings going from these to another entity that made, hatched, cloned, and manufactured them to do that. That is the real evil. And ultimately, there comes down to if you're going to have to pin it on one person alone, you're going to, well, historically and all over ancient documents, you'll find the same thing, just a different name. But the name's still Lucifer, Satan, if you want to.
The light bringer.
In Hebrew, and so on. And
the reptile.
There you go. I mean, what came in the Garden of Eden?
Yeah.
What was it?
Yep.
It's a reptile. Thank you. What was his job? To deceive the woman, to destroy the family. What are people who destroy families all about? You'll see it in politics every day. It's all over your national news. They're destroyers of families. That's what they do.
That's what's wrong with this world today, Daryl. You know what I mean? The destruction of the family unit and the inability to make enough income because they're always fighting and struggling to get ahead in life while the kids aren't getting the proper parenting and the kids are being indoctrinated in schools. And then the parents come home, probably fight because they're stressed out because there's too much fear in the world. And the cycle continues and that kid's going to grow up scarred, you know, and be a product of the system, you know.
There you go.
Yeah,
I think you hit it right on the head. One last thing I'd like to do is focus the other way. We've looked at the alien from my point of view, my perspective, which may or may not be right. Like I say, I don't care what people believe. That's like the length of your hair, dye it green if you like. I don't care. Don't bother me in the least. Let's say the alien really, 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 really came from a long, long way, from a galaxy far, far away. Let's say that all that's really totally true. Every word of it in gold letters says it moves toward us, just like in Star Wars. And from a galaxy a long, 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 far, far away, they came to planet Earth to look for you. That is the theme of the whole story. Somebody came a long, long way from out there, wherever that is, to do all the stuff we talked about today, to find you. Why? If you're no more than pond scum and you're not important anyway, why is it important for them to alter you, to change you, to do anything. They're after something you have that they do not have.
I can answer that for you, Daryl.
They can't get it.
Only I don't know.
And he gave it to you, but he didn't give it to them. And they're trying to figure out what you have that they can get that would make them also eternal.
Our soul, our spirit.
On one case in the mass abduction, December 8th, 1992, where I used my intel skills to turn it toward the alien, we had an abduction of eight people in two states and several cities. Small craft took all these people to a huge craft. It was 50 miles across, 50 miles thick, 600 miles across. How do you know that? Because we have it on film, of course. Someone in Japan was filming it, and it toward the moon. He didn't realize he caught it on film. That's not the point. The point is they were taken to a massive craft, and on the craft there were people where not just the alien was there, not just the alien. The seven aliens were all lined up, including Bigfoot, by the way. All of them were lined up in front of a big chair where a guy in my, I'll use this term, from mid-level management was present. And he had one big question to all of the seven. And my senior investigator was, excuse me, standing in front of him. And he asked one question. He looked at my senior investigator, an engineer, Dale Musser, and he said, why did he do this? They speak and hold concepts when they're imagery, skull to skull. So, you know, the information is totally available to you. He said, I knew exactly who it was, your picture, your every detail about what had happened instantly when he made that statement. And I said, I don't know. And he said, he was furious because he thought I should know. He said, why did you not tell me? I said, because you're an abductee. You would have told him everything. He said, of course I would. I said, that's why I didn't tell you. I don't tell you what I do. You're still being abducted. You'll tell them they'll squeeze every bit of information out of you they can. They operate just like an intelligence community. And if you don't know, they can't get anything out of you. So my point is that they were very upset because we had found, TV and movie guy put out, he said, this is the greatest case in my view of all of the cases. And I said, why do you think that is? He said, because for the first time you got the alien to come to you instead of you to them. In other words, you didn't get abducted. You brought them to the table. I said, yeah, it really upset them to no end because we fooled them. They're not infallible. They're not perfect. They're not anything. They're flawed. And if you know if you understand that, you can communicate on a different level. If you don't understand that, then welcome to the world of deception. And you just might as well put your UFO hat back on because it's fixing to get fooled a whole lot more.
So, Daryl, I really appreciate you coming on the show. I could have you here forever. And hopefully soon we can eventually meet in person. You know, behind the scenes, we'll definitely try to work something out for a date to get you on camera in person, face to face once again. That's the way I like to do it, Daryl. I wish I had the means and the money, and I wish this was my full-time job. It's not at all. That's why my eyes feel they're kind of tired. They're working all day. And then you just have life stuff that just keeps you on this hamster wheel. You know what I mean? It's hard to wind down. But yeah, that's the way I like to do it, is in person, face to face, and just get to the bottom of the truth as well as we possibly can. But Daryl, thank you very much, man. This was a treat and honor, and I salute you, my friend.
Got it. Semper Fi.